What's your emergency?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the PIO Podcast, a place for all things public information related for police, fire, EMS, and local governments.
It was a good learning experience for a lot of us that social media is not real life.
But we have to remember, the media are very rarely a target audience. They're simply that conduit.
Our words have impacts on individuals, and it may not be positive. So just being thoughtful and mindful of the words that we speak.
I think what's so interesting about this position too, and this job and this profession, is that every one of us is looking for purpose. And when we find it here, that's it.
To know is that a crisis for one is not necessarily a crisis for another.
Hey guys, I wanted to jump on here for a minute. I hope you're enjoying our content. If you could take a moment to look in today's show notes at the bottom, you're going to see a link that says support the show. The PIO Podcast needs support to keep connecting with these amazing resources. Any amount helps. Thanks, everybody. We really appreciate it. Wow, it's February already. 1 month down into 2024. For this month, I've lined up some great guests. So sit back and enjoy this episode.
Good morning. Today in the PIO Podcast, we have Public Information Officer Scotty Lamone. He's the Coconut Creek Police Department Public Information Officer. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here. It feels like high school when I finally got invited to the cool table.
Nah, this is definitely not the cool table. What you guys do is the cool table. It really is. So, Scotty, you are the Public Safety Information Officer for Coconut Creek. How long have you been in that position?
It'll be 6 years coming up on February the 20th.
And how did you end up getting there? What's your background?
I spent a good amount of time in TV. So I was a TV reporter for the better part of almost 15 years. So that took me to Kentucky, to South Carolina, and then to Virginia. And then in Virginia, that kind of role, I started raising a family. So, you know, got married. My friends call my wife Helen Keller because they think she must have been blind and deaf to have married me. But I finally got married. So, you know, starting a family and everything, and, you know, the whole thing about, you know, going live at 6 and, you know, you have a 7 o'clock show, you got to be live there and come back and put everything together for the late show and the morning show. It just got to be a lot. So I started kind of looking to get out of TV. So the PIO gig at the Roanoke Police Department came open. So I took that, and that was 2013. So I've been out of TV for now going on close to 11 years. So I took that, and that kind of grew, you know, was the journey that got me to Coconut Creek. We started kind of looking, you know, maybe for warmer weather to move out of the Virginia area. It's a great place to raise a family, no problem with it. We're just looking mainly for warmer weather. And the Coconut Creek job came open. I didn't know anybody down here, you know, so I just typed up some, you know, cover letter and, you know, put my resume and, you know, and I was like, yeah, there's no chance in hell of me getting this job, you know. And then sure enough, you know, Coconut Creek called and we did a interview, you know, over, you know, now it's typical, but now, you know, we did the interview over the, at the time, Skype.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what got me here.
Awesome. Let's talk some statistics. Coconut Creek, where's it located? What's the population? How many sworn? How many civilians?
Well, we're in northern Broward, so it's us, and if we, you know, if you go to the north of our jurisdiction, you hit Palm Beach County, so we're in, you know, north Broward, so it's above Fort Lauderdale, but below Boca Raton, and have about 57,000 people here, and that's just the folks that live here. It's quite a good, you know, business contingency. You know, we've got schools, we've got some populated schools, so, you know, on a school day, you know, we're probably bringing, you know, well over, you know, I don't know, maybe 75, you know, thousand, you know, some more people into the city with some bigger businesses, stuff like that. So, you know, on a typical weekday, you're going to have a few more. Got about 100 sworn, give or take, and probably about 40 to 45 civilian. I'm a civilian, so, you know, I can't arrest you, Robert. I can probably tow your car if you really piss me off. But, you know, I'm a civilian, so. So I have that role, and they had never really had a civilian PIO before. Never had ones before.
So you're the first.
The first, okay. The first civilian PIO, and then about 2 years ago, coming up this September. So what, about a year and a half ago, we also took back over the fire department. So I'm also the PIO for Coconut Creek Fire Rescue. And I don't do as much social media for them as I do for the police department, but also, you know, I'd be the PIO on scene for fire rescue, which was new to me because I never really worked in fire rescue before. So that requires and still requires some learning on my part. And they've been nice enough to help me over there.
Not only are you a one man operation, I'm assuming, right? So not only are you a one man operation, but you're doing it for two different agencies.
Yes.
That's a lot of work for a single person to handle. Especially when things get busy, hurricane season, you know, all of that, that's got to be pretty daunting to handle on your own.
Yeah, luckily, you know, I joke with the reporters around here, you know, we might get one or two big stories a year, you know, where we're in the Miami market. So, you know, I might get, you know, one or two big stories a year, you know, so it's not that often. And really to a fire scene, I probably only had to respond once or twice so far, you know, so it's one of those places where, yeah, I find myself dealing a lot more with neighbors, you know, with the residents than I do with the media. Now, that was the exact opposite in Virginia, in Roanoke. You know, I did a lot more media stuff. We had a lot more violent crime in that city and everything, a lot more socioeconomic, you know, stuff that, that impacts crime. So I did a lot more with the media there than I do here. But it's a good problem to have, you know, that we don't have. And it also, you know, keeps me really in touch with the HOAs and the neighborhood groups to really know what's going on in the city. So I like that part of it.
Okay. So what social media platforms are you currently running, and do you have any plans to add any new ones?
I told him when I got this job, I wanted to do a few things well and not everything, because I just don't think you can have your hands in everything. That's just me personally. I know people are going to disagree, you know. So basically, I look at the Facebook page as the department's newspaper. You want to see what's going on today, then you turn to the Coconut Creek Department's Facebook page. I try to post a minimum twice a day, maybe once on weekends. You know, not too much, because the algorithm is going to determine, you know, what people see. I primarily use X, Twitter, to communicate with the media. That's it. Now, there are, you know, of course, people that'll, you know, the residents on Twitter and everything, and I'll answer those questions and everything. So I do use Twitter, a lot of retweets, stuff like that. But primarily, I'm using it to communicate with the media on these crash scenes and on, you know, whatever scene does make the news. Instagram, I like how, you know, Instagram tried to go a lot more video heavy. You know, it didn't seem to work for them. So I do like how they're kind of leaning back into more pictures and stuff like that, you know, because you can be a little more creative on Instagram than you can Facebook. I think it's a little younger crowd. And also, it seems like I've got a lot more of these younger officers that are on Instagram instead of Facebook. So that's another thing that I really look at is, I've also got an internal communication there, you know, just somewhat more so with Instagram than Facebook. And also, we're on Nextdoor. I like that platform because it kind of cuts out some of the algorithm that you'd find with Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, you know, so I can communicate directly to the consumer, if you will. And we have a new app too. We've joined AppArmor and trying to get that off the ground, because then I don't have to worry anything about algorithms, anything like that. You know, so if I can get them to download that and, you know, not be hitting them with stuff every day, they're going to silence it, you know, and not be sending out something at 4 o'clock in the morning, what's going to wake them up, you know, and tick them off, you know. But I really think that's kind of the future of where we're going, you know, where are the apps, you know, because the algorithms are so hard to control, you know, they're so fragmented now, you know, it's politically. So I do think that the future of what we do as far as with social media, with communications, is going to rely heavily on the apps, you know, and using that and pivoting back to the website. You know, I was one of those people before that, you know, like, why are we using the website? You know, nobody really goes to it. You know, I see the traffic on it, you know, that they may be going to it, you know, to find out how to hire a detail or an off-duty officer. That's about it. You know, or how to pay, you know, a fee or something like that. But, you know, as social media becomes more fragmented and the algorithms become harder to kind of pin down, I have been seeing myself really pivoting back toward the website for communication purposes.
And that's an interesting trend that I'm starting to see more and more, where the agencies' websites have gotten much better. They've gotten a lot more user-friendly, mobile-friendly. And once they were able to make that leap from mobile-friendly, now you have that ability to just, again, drop the link in there. People click on the link, it pulls them back to your website. Maybe you can capture an email address or contact information, and then it makes it a lot easier. You get a better return for your buck. I agree. I think that's more and more agencies I'm seeing are going to that website.
Yeah, and you know, Facebook, you know, that they don't want you to leave their site. You know, so, you know, you're going to get penalized a little bit with the algorithm. I think the bot looks at that. But, you know, it's not like I'm not Oscar Mayer, you know, so I'm not trying to sell something to everybody. All I really want to do is sell it to Coconut Creek. So if you're a business, you come in here to work, to go to school, or if you live, you know, so I'm much more compact in what I'm trying to reach. You know, if I was trying to sell you, you know, if I'm trying to sell widget, that's one thing,
right?
You know, but I'm not. You know, I'm just trying to sell Coconut Creek.
And that's what I liked about Nextdoor, because Nextdoor was just your residents or your businesses that were in your community. That was an advantage. Yeah, Nextdoor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to mention the Ring Neighbors app is good, too. You know, so when you talk to the residents, and it's just anything else that you run into, because I see it on Nextdoor, you can be anonymous on the Ring Neighbors app, you can be anonymous. So, you know, you're just coming up as, you know, you can just write whatever you want and your neighbor number 26. Nobody knows who you are. You know, Nextdoor, you know, has a little bit of that too, where I go to community meetings, HOA meetings, they complain about, you know, what they're seeing and stuff like that. You know, so Nextdoor has that aspect of it too, of the noise. But at least, you know, if they download Nextdoor, I know they live there. And I know that whatever they choose, whether it be a text message or an email, is getting through. Whereas Facebook, you know, I don't know. You know, I liken it to a pizza. You know, you might get two slices, but that's it. Then you're going to have to pay for size 3, 4, and 5. You know, so at least I know with Nextdoor, then, you know, I think they, I don't know if their numbers, like to me, their numbers are a little weird. Like, I don't know how I'm getting, you know, how they're claiming to have like 25,000 households in Coconut Creek. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. You know, but whatever, at least I know that it's going to get there. And I try to be judicious with Nextdoor and with the app, because when you get something like that, I want you to read it. You know, it's, you know, I want to be, they don't do that. You know, they don't do that every minute, you know. So, you know, what's the Coconut Creek Police Department? What's Coconut Creek Fire Rescue trying to tell me here? You know, since they're just not jabbing on this thing all the time, you know, like a Twitter account where they're retweeting everything and putting out tweets, you know, I intentionally don't post as much on Nextdoor and really judicious with the app, because I want you to, you know, to know that when we do that, that it's something worth looking at.
Okay. You know? So Scotty, when you came to Coconut Creek and you started out as a PIO, then you became the public safety information officer because of taking over fire. Did you get any specialized training for any of that? And if you did, what courses did you take?
I got to tell you, you know, Virginia really trained me well. So, and that's probably something I need to do. That's one weak point, I think, in my game right now is, you know, I don't go to a lot of the trainings that I see other PIOs go to, you know, and for networking purposes like that, you know, it's probably something I need to get more into, especially with the emergency communication with hurricanes and with severe weather and stuff like that. When I took over in Virginia, they did send me to like a basic PIO course that pretty much every state will run. You know, I think, you know, Florida probably has one. You know, so I took that. I do think courses in training opportunities as far as with public records requests are very important, because, you know, I'm not claiming to be an expert with the public records request, but, you know, you got to know your way around. You know, it's kind of like being a TV reporter with that. You know, like I knew a little bit about everything, you know, but I wasn't an expert on anything. So with public records requests, you got at least got to know, you know, a little bit of, you know, a little bit how it works. You know, how much time do I have? You know, what are the rules in whatever state I'm working in? You know, because those were very important trainings. The kind of command staff structure, you know, of in a crisis situation was important too. I've taken a few FEMA courses, you know, through the years that'll teach you that. And also, you know, it's, you just kind of have to develop your own style. You know, my style is a little different, you know, than a lot of people. And, you know, some of the stuff that I, you know, believe is probably a little different, you know, than what you'll hear from a lot of trainers, you know. So, but I do think it's important to go to those trainings and get exposure to, you know, how to write a news release, you know, how to, you know, be creative in social media, because, you know, with a lot of these places, they are just kind of giving it to, you know, oh, that guy, you know, I like his social media posts on Facebook, so he might as well be the PIO. You know, he might as well run the social media. Or, you know, oh, I've seen her interview before. You know, she did a good job. She ought to be the PIO and talk to the media whenever they come around, you know. So I think that's how a lot, especially with the sworns, you know, God bless them. You know, I think that's how they end up there. And sometimes I think they're interested in it, other times not. You know, sometimes they're voluntold, sometimes not. But those courses are really good for what and when I say sworn, I'm talking about, you know, fire guys are sworn too. You know, firefighters are sworn too. So both on the fire end and the police end, I think those are important for people that don't have a background like I do, that weren't in the media forever, you know, because I'm old. I'm old, Robert. I mean, I'm old. So, you know, those are important for people that kind of get in these roles that they didn't really see. You know, I don't know if you're going through the police academy, if I'm thinking, man, I want to be a PIO someday. You know, I don't, maybe, I don't know. You know, I don't think so. So, you know, I think oftentimes they're thrust into these roles because they have a skill set that might fit them, you know, and, you know, it's one of those things that you can embrace that. You know, a lot of these, you know, that it's you know, a lot of these sworn PIOs go on and they have a lot more Twitter followers than I do. And, you know, when they're on TV and, you know, that they transition to the morning shows to talk about traffic and stuff like that. You see this all over now, you know, how these ex-state troopers are now going to TV and ex-cops,
Trooper
Thompson, you know. And,
yeah, Trooper Thompson.
Yep, you know. You know, so it can be a lucrative career, you know, people far more talented than I am, you know, so it can be. But that's the classes I would really take, you know, is trying to develop the writing skill, the interviewing skill, you know, trying to, you know, when you're interviewed, trying to get your message across, answer the question, but also get your message across, and also to kind of know your way around a public records request or, you know, what do we call it in Virginia, FOIA. You know, Freedom of Information Act, you know, then those are the most important kind of starting building blocks. And then I think everything else you can kind of learn on the job. You know, I think you learn ways to communicate, you learn what works, you learn what doesn't. It's very analytically driven now. So I can tell, you know, if I've got a post that I liked, but, you know, just kind of tanked in the analytics, I can say, well, maybe I want to look at that, you know. And also I'm big on really knowing your audience. You know, my audience primarily is 65% women. You know, across all platforms, except for YouTube. YouTube's the only one where my guys outnumber my girls. You know, so I'm always thinking about, you know, how is this going to land? You know, I love pro wrestling. I'm a football fan and a hockey fan. You know, so if I make a hockey analogy on this post, you know, how is it going to land with your 37-year-old, you know, mother of two, who's primarily the person looking at my Facebook page?
Right. So, Scotty, you know, hold on. Let me ask you a question. So, on your public safety side, on the fire side, you said you weren't doing a whole lot of the social media. So who does that on the fire side then?
Mostly the city does. And, you know, I got to, you know, the fire, you know, can be neglected, you know, and I think that's part of it too, is I do think our fire department, you know, I think I'm getting in trouble for this, but I do think our fire department could probably stand to have its own Facebook page because I do think they would produce enough content, you know, to that. And I do think the fire department would probably, you know, stand with having kind of a social media person. They've got community people, you know, that do fire prevention and stuff like that, you know, but right now they don't have their own Facebook page. And, you know, it's a lot of it is, you know, you got to, you know, and I get it, you know, you got to, who's going to do it? Is it going to be, who's going to provide the content? You know, who's going to make sure that everything's up to snuff as far as, you know, with the public records requests and everything that we get, you know, I get it. You know, but I also, and I've told the fire department, you know, that I do feel like in a lot of ways they're neglected because they're not, you know, I'm over here at the police station every day, you know, so I do feel the need sometime to say, hey, what's going on, you know, or if they get this grant, you know, hey, what how can we use that, you know, and I don't know if that's another problem that other one person entities like me run into. It probably is.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, you can only go so many directions, right? You can only do so much.
Yeah, and you get so used to doing, you know, like when I think about it, I was like, well, you know, what possible content, you know, what two posts every Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday can I get out of the fire department? You know, probably a lot. You know, it's easy enough for me. I mean, I was scraping the bottom of the barrel for posts, Robert, you know, when I first took, you know, like I was going to every community meeting and, you know, every time we went to this one HOA every month, that would be a post, you know, and now, you know, I might go just to talk and, you know, to say, hey, you know, sign up for Creek Armor, our app, you know, but that's not necessarily a post anymore because after 5-6 years, you know, you've developed a lot of sources, a lot of content, you know, and I know there's a lot of trainings that'll tell these PIOs to run their place like a newsroom. And that's true. You know, that's true. You know, you kind of have to run it like a newsroom. I was in newsroom for, you know, the better part of 15 years. So I do look at, you know, those, you know, telling a story, getting somebody to read it, to click on it, you know, and I also do look at with breaking news and weather as being two of the primary drivers as far as, you know, increasing my reach, increasing the app, because that's what increased it in news, You know, in news, you know, you can own breaking news and you can own weather. You did pretty well. You know, and I do think that for every public safety social media manager, you know, and for every PIO that wants to communicate with the public, that's probably the way they should look at it. Yeah. That's probably a good way to run it.
Scotty, so you have done like a number of presentations on public to the public on scams and how they impact the community. Is that something that you usually taken care of, or is that something that comes out of the crime prevention unit or a crime prevention officer?
It's a collaboration. And when I see something that now I do, you know, I don't know, you know, the police guys will tell you, we get, you know, kind of a sheet every day, you know, twice a day, most of the time, that gives you, you know, kind of the high points of that shift, you know. So for the past 12 hours, you can see this, this, and this. So I'll take a look at that and I'll go in and read the report and, you know, something that might interest me scam wise. So then I will go to whoever's investigating that and say, hey, you know, I feel like we should put this out. This will help, you know, with crime prevention, you know, nice little pose to probably kind of prevent this from happening. Hey, maybe it'll even give you a few leads. Who knows? You know, if you need some leads, you know, and I'll go and talk to whoever is investigating just to make sure not step on any toes, you know, what's coming, you know, stuff like that. So it's a collaborative effort. I will have officers that will come to me and say, hey, we need to do this, you know, seeing an uptick in this, let's do this. Or, hey, you know, we've run into a dead end with this case, you know, we're just not getting any leads. Can we have this? We don't know who the, you know, we don't know who these goofballs are. You know, they're stealing this motorcycle, you know, got good video of them. Can you put this out? You know, so it's really a collaborative effort when it comes to that. But I really look at those, and those are some of my top performers. You know, anytime I put out a scam alert, or, you know, I used to call it and still call it, you know, don't do it as much anymore, but I'll call it, you know, I did these posts called Who Am I? You know, so we would show the bad guy, shoplifter, and we would write it first person. So, like, the shoplifter wrote it, and it actually fooled some people. I get comments like, why is the shoplifter writing this on here? I was like, no, it's me, you know. But, you know, it's Who Am I? You know, Do You Know Me? You know, where it's kind of written from the first person, from the shoplifter's perspective. Those perform really well, you know, and those really get out. So that's what you look for when trying to increase engagement, because if I can do that, then when the hurricane comes, you know, and when, you know, the wildfire comes, then I've already getting you to come to a place where you're going to get the right information, especially for Coconut Creek, because, you know, we're not on the news. You know, it's like I joke, you know, when you watch the news, they never mention Coconut Creek. You know, we're not Fort Lauderdale, Sunrise, some of these bigger towns, you know. So I really think there's a nice niche in there. I think I pronounced that right. Did I pronounce that right? Niche. East Tennessee Education, sorry. But there's really a nice niche there if I can tell the consumer, hey, you know, this is Coconut Creek centric. You know, this is Coconut Creek's weather forecast. You know, this is what's going on in Coconut Creek, you know, because you're not getting that on the news. You know, although sometimes I might need the news help. Because I get into these, you know, I got it in my first big Twitter argument when I really, really started trying to lean into Twitter. Me, Scotty Lehman, was, you know, I came out one day and I said, hey, we don't need the news. You know, we can tell our own stories. I released one of our videos, you know, and that call, oh my goodness, you know that really poked a few bears there, you know. But I really truly believe that we don't need the news anymore. You know, if I have a good video and I put it on YouTube, I've got one now. That's,
absolutely, we are, you know, we are the newsmakers for our agencies. Absolutely,
yeah, you Scotty, know, let's, I've got one. 50,000.
Okay, so I want to talk about benefits and the necessity of joining private Facebook groups that are in the neighborhood. Talk about some of that.
Well, the pros are that it's, again, a way to kind of defeat the algorithm, because I don't like to spend public money, you know, your hard-earned money, Robert, if you're a Coconut Creek resident. I don't want to be giving that to Mark Zuckerberg unless I have to. You know, so I'm all the time looking for ways, you know, to kind of see if I can kind of defeat that algorithm. You know, so if you do have a private Facebook group and you post it on there, then it is going to be seen by those people. You know, now the con is you have to keep everything for public records requests is, you know, a lot of that stuff won't be captured. You know, so you'll talk to, you know, your page freezers of the world. You'll talk to Archive Social, you know, and they'll tell you, you know, at least most of them will. You know, they may have gotten better at it, you know, but some of that's not going to be captured. So you're kind of out on a limb there. But I still think it's important. And I will still do it to, you know, to even though, you know, City Hall will kind of, you know, say, hey, you know, watch it, you know. But if there's ever any big rumors out there, you know, or anything, I will post, you know, I will answer stuff and post stuff directly on a neighborhood Facebook group that's private. And but they are okay with me sharing. So in other words, you know, when I go and post and, you know, Facebook will let you share all these groups, you know, I shared as many of them as I can because I just really look at it, you know, if you're going to be a part of that group, and I know I'm, you know, on mine, for my HOA, you know, I'm a part of a private, you know, and I'm checking that thing every day, you know, to figure out what's going on and, you know, what are they doing over here? You know, they cut my palm trees or they, you know, are they watering my, you know, cleaning my sidewalk, you know, stuff like that. So, and the bot, you know, will tell you, you know, if I go to that a lot, the bot, then that's going to be the first thing on my screen, you know. So I do think that they are really good ways to defeat the algorithm because, you know, there are a lot of people in these private groups that are active in those neighborhoods, you know, neighborhoods in particular, you know, and I do think it'll throw it to the front of their feed because they have taught the bot, you know, that they like that, you know, so, you know, they want to know what's going on in this private Facebook group. So it throws it directly on top of their feeds.
All right. So let's talk about critical incident briefing videos. That's for major incidents like officer involved shootings or high profile incidents. Have you guys done anything like that, or is that something that you're considering doing in the future?
So far, I've had one officer involved. Well, I had one officer shot here. I've had one officer involved shooting. And with our policy, the FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, investigates. And a lot more of these agencies, you know, are going, you know, to that method. You know, in Virginia, we investigated for a little while, then we turned it over to Virginia State Police because that's kind of what the folks want, you know. So that's good because I do think it provides more transparency. But the challenge for the PIO is you're no longer in control of the information. So you've got to go to another agency and say, hey, you know, do you mind if I say this? Can I say that? You know, what do you think? Now, FDLE has worked very well with me, you know, as far as, you know, giving me some leeway on, you know, trying to get ahead of some of this stuff with these officer-involved shootings. You know, I could see us doing that, you know, especially, you know, after they wrapped it up, you know, after the state attorney's office has taken a look at it and said, hey, you know, we're not going to prosecute for A, B, and C. I've seen these larger agencies like I think Houston do it before and some of these big cities. And I wonder if they're still in charge of their own investigations or if they, you know, have turned those over, you know, to another agency. Because that's the only thing that would stop us, you know, from doing it in a really timely manner would be, you know, FDLE saying, nah, you know, we still got to investigate. And the state attorney's office saying, nah. You know, we've not made a ruling yet.
So is that policy or is that state law that FDLE takes it over?
Policy.
Okay. Okay.
So, but with especially, you know, really post Ferguson, you know, there's a lot of people think that's, you know, a lot of this stuff started with George Floyd, but really post Ferguson, everything changed, you know, because, you know, Ferguson shined some lights on that stuff, you know, and especially in Virginia. And it's like I tell people, you can only police people though they want to be policed, you know. So in Virginia, in particular, you know, they said, look, you know, we don't want you investigating your own officer-involved shootings. You know, we don't trust you, you know. And there may not be any reason, you know, we may have never provided them a reason to not trust us, you know. But still, the way things are, we don't trust you. So it is good to give that over. You do look more transparent, you know, and you are more transparent, I think, you know, when you're not investigating your own. I agree with that. But to the con of that, you know, or the there's always give and take. You give that, but you take the you're going to be kind of tied now to another agency on what you can release, you know. And where if you know if they say nope, you know, we know you got problems with this, we know you got people protesting you, but you can't do that, you know. That's a challenge with this from the PIO's perspective. You know, again, I suppose
it becomes an image issue too, because if you not releasing any information, and that's what the mistake was in Ferguson. They were almost non-existent.
You know, I think with Floyd, the mistake was getting it wrong, you know, because basically when I get to a scene, I'm like, what's not going to change? You know, so if it's, you know, an example, if it's a crash scene, you know, and, you know, I've got, unfortunately, two deceased, that's not going to change. You know, now if they transported one and they told me, yeah, this guy or this girl's not looking good at all, probably going to die, I'm going to wait. Because it's much easier for me to say someone's deceased than to bring them back to life. you know, much easier. So I'm all the time asking myself when I get to a scene, what's not going to change? You know, and then that's kind of what I base my, you know, initial releases off on, you know, and with consultation from whoever's investigating, you know, whoever the lead investigator is, you know, is, hey, can we put out what's not going to change? Because then we don't have anything to walk back. You know, we're giving them some information, you know, and then we can just add on to it. So we've established a baseline of factual information that ain't going to change. And then we can build on to that factual information later on, you know. But I do think, and I am a big proponent with the media of not getting to that contentious spot in the first place, you know, because, you know, I do tell my bosses a couple of things. One, I tell them, you know, we can't win every battle. We can't fight every battle. You know, like, you know, what really or why are we holding on this information? You know, if it's not going to hurt the investigation, why are we doing it? You know, and another thing I'll tell them a lot is, look, we're going to get hit. We're going to get hit with this, you know, by the media. They are going to hit us. Do you want to get hit in the nose or do you want to get hit in the shoulder? Because if you listen to me, we'll get hit in the shoulder. You know, we're going to get hit no matter what. If you listen to me, we'll get hit in the shoulder. If you don't, we're probably going to get hit in the nose. You know, and that's how I've gotten through to them before, you know, is by saying that, you know, because sometimes, you know, you got to, you know, it's just like DeSantis just did, you know, he had a big crap burger. He had to, you know, I heard it on the radio. So this is not my, I can't claim to this, but, you know, it was on the radio this morning, you know, when he bows out of the race, you know, he has to eat a big crap burger. So he eats it all in one bite. You know, you know, you don't want to nibble around on it. You know, you eat it all in one bite. You know, like I said, it's not my analogy. I heard it this morning. So I don't want
to. So, Scotty,
perfect analogy. That's a perfect way to think about it. You know?
Scotty, is there a question I should have asked? And if so, how would you have answered it?
No, I'm all good. I'm all good. You know, you took me back to high school when I was a weird, you know, sophomore with braces who couldn't get any girls, no dates, you know, and all of a sudden I get invited to the cool table and, you know, the cool table changed my life. So this will be a life changing experience now, you know, even though I'm married, you know, so, you know, so that part's of it. You know, now maybe I'll get invited to more cool parties and stuff like that, you know. So I can't wait for all the coolness that's gonna happen after this.
It's gonna happen. And, all right, Scotty, let's go into some rapid fire questions. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Talking or texting?
I like to talk because then there's no record of it. So, you know, I don't like to live or leave, you know, for public records requests. You know, I don't like to leave a whole lot of, you know, what's it called with Hansel and Gretel, you know, little breadcrumbs to follow. So I'm a talker.
All right.
So I like to talk.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Coffee or tea?
I'm more of a tea guy, so I've never been a big coffee drinker, you know, so more of a tea guy. I drink a lot of green tea now. You know, I'm getting older, so you know, this is too much information. It sends me to the bathroom a lot, you know, but, you know, I'm a green tea guy. You know, it's healthier, getting older, you know, maybe going to the bathroom 9 times a day is a good thing, you know.
Adult drink of choice?
I'm a cold Coors Light guy. You know, I'll sit and drink cold Coors Lights all day if I had to.
Superpower if you could have one. What superpower?
What's that?
What superpower if you could have one?
I don't know. You know, the whole superpower thing kind of freaks me out because I know me and I would abuse it. You know, so like if I had, you know, if I could fly, then, you know, I could just see me, you know, going and, you know, doing something that's, you know, would be, you know, there's a reason why I can't fly, why, you know, God may be kind of ugly and short, you know, because he knows I would abuse it, you know. So I'm scared of superpowers. I'd probably have to go with, you know, probably flight, I guess, because I don't like to fly anyway. So at least I'll be in control of it.
There you go.
I have to go and fly. You know, I know me and I know I would abuse it and get in a lot of trouble, you know, so I'm glad I don't have any superpowers.
All right. Ask permission or beg for forgiveness.
I am more of a forgiveness kind of guy, so I do, you know, I still do it. You know, I will do stuff that I'm like, I don't know about this. You know, I mentioned one earlier, you know, posted on the neighbor in the private.
Right. It's a PIO way, though. It's a PIO way. Place you most like to travel to?
I like to go to the beach, so luckily we have a lot of those here, so the beach is kind of my thing, you know, getting in the sand. I don't get in the water until, you know, it's July and August, it's too cold. You know, but I, you know, I we go every Sunday, so I do like to travel to the beach.
Nice. Guilty pleasure food?
Probably pizza. I could probably eat that 4 meals a day, 5 meals a day. You know, it's as I get older, it kind of sticks. So, you know, if I walk by a donut now, it just sticks on my stomach, you know, so, but definitely pizza, you know, if it wasn't so darn calorific and everything, I could eat that 3 meals a day.
Yeah. If you choose to have coffee with any historical figure, who would it be?
You know, I thought about that one because I saw that one. Man, I don't know. You know, One of the things, yeah, I would like to actually go back to whoever my great, 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 great grandpa is and say, hey, you know, where are we from? You know, because I can trace my family to this little podunk town in Tennessee. Well, Riceville. I mean, well, I shouldn't say that. People watch the other. It's the 35 people population there that might tick them off. But, you know, I would love to be able to say, hey, you know, I have this family member here and here. But I would probably want to go back to just some really old grandpa, Lehman, and saying, hey, you know, what do you know about your grandpa? You know, and where do you know? What do you remember? You know, because I'd love to be able to trace the Lehmans beyond rural Tennessee.
There you go. All right, Scotty, final thoughts. What key points would you like our listeners to take from the interview today?
I don't know. You know, it's a tough job. It's a rewarding job as far as being a PIO. Sometimes I think we're really too into ourselves. You know, sometimes I think we like to gripe and complain, you know, when really there's not much to gripe and complain about, you know, so just don't take it too seriously. But I do think there's a role there for us. And I do think that times are changing. And I think we've got to, you know, really realize, especially as old as I am, I'll be 50 years old soon, you know, so, you know, I'm not really plugged into the 24, 25 year olds. That's why I talk to them and see what they're doing, you know, but there are, you know, times are changing. And it's like, I like to tell people, you know, there's a wave coming. So, you know, we have two choices. We either get swamped by it, or we grab our surfboard and we ride it, you know, so that's really our choice. So with everything that's coming down, these apps and, you know, and the way social media is going and all this stuff, you know, I think times are changing and we need to change with it.
Scotty, how can people best reach out to you if they want to connect or follow up?
Hey, I'll give you my phone number. You know,
no, it's, don't do that one. Email or something. Yeah. Cause you'll get some person that'll start pranking you. You don't want to have that happen.
No. You're kidding. You know, yeah. Somebody would actually use my phone number?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
No. But I normally give it out. I pretty much give it out every community meeting. You know, now I mean, I'm going to answer it. You know, if it's important, you leave me a voicemail. Right, I'll tell people that. But yeah, I think the Twitter account's the best way. It kind of looks like Peon Paradise. I don't know why I set it up like that because I'm dumb. That's something, you know, when you do your Twitter handle, don't be dumb. But I meant it to be P-I-O-N. As in Nebraska, not Nebraska, but, you know, P-I-O-N,
right?
The letter N, Paradise, but it looks like Peon. My wife is like, it looks like Peon Paradise. I'm like, yeah, okay, you know. So, but, you know, I didn't change it. So, you know, don't be dumb, but that's one way to find me. And then the email address, is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
You know, because I get crazies on email too. But, you know, if you're crazy, that's fine. Yeah, I'm a little crazy. It's okay. We're in the same boat. It's the first letter of my first name, S, and then my entire last name, L-E-A. M-O-N. So it kind of looks like Sleeman. So it's S-L-E-A-M-O-N, all one word. And it's at Coconut Creek, all one word. If you need help spelling Coconut Creek, you need a lot more help than I can give you. So coconutcreek.net. So Sleeman at coconutcreek.net.
Scotty, thank you very much for being on the show, man.
Don't be sending me nothing that is going to get called, you know, involved in a public records request. That's one thing, okay? Government. Yeah, so, you know, I'm not getting called up in anybody's FOIA or PR request.
There you go. There you go. Scotty, thank you very much for being on the show.
Hey, no problem. I really enjoyed it. You know, it's actually a goal I set out. You know, I'd like to try to be more of a presenter and more of a trainer, you know, and, you know, as the years go by, you know, one of my goals is try to teach. So, you know, this is actually one of my goals was to try to get on this thing. So you do a great job. It's a great outlet for everybody. I've learned a lot from listening to these podcasts. Awesome. Yeah, it's really made me think and change my ways in some way. So, hope to do the same.
Thank you. Thank you for being on. Take care.
Hey, thank you.
That's all for this week. We hope you enjoyed this episode.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified on the latest episode. If you are listening on a platform that allows you to leave a review, please give us a review. Any review is appreciated. To support our efforts with the PIO podcast, you can click on the support button in the show notes, and any donation is appreciated. Thank you.